Turn with us to the book of Judges. We've been doing a study and starting in the book of Judges, and I want to kind of cover some things this morning that for the class that heard 2 weeks ago that heard me. I'll be recovering a few things, kind of reviewing a little bit, but I'm doing that on purpose for this younger generation that's sitting in here now. There's a principle that when I get done, I think you'll understand. But there's a principle that is so important that I want you to hear it. I want you to listen because it's so important. It's happening in our country today. It's happening in Christianity today, and I want you to get a hold of it. So I just ask that you please listen. Listen with it. I'm just going to go back for a little bit of review. The book of Judges, of course, takes over after Joshua dies. And in fact, at the first of the book of Judges, we find that Joshua, the leader that brought them into the promised land, has died. And we know that the book of Judges is famous for a people who where there was no king in Israel, but everyone done that which was right in their own eyes. That was a time. I believe, truthfully, we're seeing a lot of that today, because we have a king. His name is Jesus, and we have an absolute Bible. It's the old King James Bible. We have an absolute Bible, but a lot of folk is not paying much attention to it, and they're not going by it, and so that's causing us real troubles. Not only for our country and for our churches, but certainly in Christianity as a whole. It's causing real problems because this is the absolute truth of the Word of God, and it must be followed. There's a lot of consequences. We'll be dealing with that in the next week or so, but there's a lot of consequences for disobedience. And I mean terrible consequences. And I believe we're seeing some of that because we're disobeying the Word of God today. So anyway, I just kind of want to go back a little bit. If you go back to Deuteronomy, the last of Deuteronomy, I'm not going to turn there, but if you go back to the last of Deuteronomy, we find that Moses is preparing to die. And the Bible says that Moses laid his hand on Joshua, which would be the new leader. And he laid his hand on him. He prepared him. He gave him instructions of what he should do. And then at the first of the book of Joshua, we find that Moses had died. It says that God's servant, Moses, died. And so Joshua took over. And if you begin to read at the first of the book of Joshua, I'm just doing some review here. The book of Joshua, you find that God gives Joshua some instructions on what to do. So these leaders are being prepared, and God gives him instructions. He tells him to stay strong and courageous and keep the law of God before him and walk with God. He gives him those instructions. And then, of course, over in the end of Joshua, which I might just turn back there to the end of Joshua, you find that in chapter 22, Joshua begins to prepare the people because he's going to die. We've said before, God's servants die, but God's work does not. Amen. It goes on. God uses different servants. They come to the end of their life, but God's work does not end. It goes on. And so we find here that Joshua begins to prepare the people in chapter 22. We're not going to cover a lot, but chapter 22, he calls the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh together and gives them some instructions. And it's a time when they need to be prepared for his death. And then in chapter 23 of Joshua, he again calls all the leaders together, the leaders of Israel, the heads of the tribes, the elders, and the judges and the officers. He pulls all of those together and again begins to give them some instructions. In chapter 23 of Joshua, verse 6, he says, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep unto all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." And his instructions basically were, is to just keep a straight course. Don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, just keep a straight course. And that, again, that was the instructions he gave the heads of Israel. In chapter 24, and this is important because, and I want to take time to read this. This is very important. We're in Joshua chapter 24. I want to read this because what he does is he gives a history. He gives a history of Israel. And now I want you to really listen to this because this is Joshua giving a history of what God had done for Israel. Now this is important, folks, because what we've got to remember is this. God uses all kinds of people. But basically when it comes down to it, it's what God has done for us that we cannot forget. We just cannot forget that. And so he gives a history. It's a short history of what God had done for Israel. In chapter 24, it says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God." You understand what he's doing. He's gathering them together. He's giving them instructions. And he says, "And Joshua said unto the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac." Then he says, "And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterwards I brought you out." You see the history he's telling them? And he said, "I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen that I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season." Remember the statement where he said, your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. This is important. These people knew what God had done. They saw it with their own eyes. This is important, folks, because we're going to see that we must see the works of God, and we must never forget them. And he said here, "And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them unto your hand, and you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came from Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with any, thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and ye dwelt in them, of the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted not, do you eat." You see, he gives a whole history, and he brings them up to the fact where he says to you, "I gave you this land. And look what I done, how I brought you out of all of this. I brought you across the Red Sea. I brought you across Jordan. And I brought you into a land. And I protected you and took care of you." Okay, this is very, very important that they see that they remember the history of what God did. And then he says simply this, "Now, Therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whom land you dwelt. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, this is Joshua coming to the end of his life. And he gives the instruction. He goes back and gives a history of what God had done for them. Again, I'm saying to you, this is important, folks. We can never forget what God has done for us. And he goes over, he starts out with, yes, there was Abraham. Yes, I gave Isaac to Abraham. And yes, then I gave Jacob and Esau to Isaac. I did that. And he mentions those people's names. And that's all right. We may not ever want to forget those people. But then he gives a whole history. I want to tell you something. It was God that did this for you. And you can never forget, because you've seen the mighty works of God. They had the privilege of seeing God move mightily. Remember when I read that to you where it says, you've seen it. You've seen it with your eyes. So we find then that in chapter 24 of Joshua, look at verse 31, and then we'll go over into Judges. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. You see, what happened was Joshua died, and of course, those who had worked with Joshua, the elders and the people who had seen the great works of God, that generation, they served God. They walked with God. Why? They had seen the mighty works of God. Now, what happened in the first part of the book of Judges is that they began to deviate from the faith. Because what happened was they were told to drive out the inhabitants. Just let me give you an illustration in chapter 1 of Judges, down in verse 21. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. You go over to verse number 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out. Look at verse 29. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. What happened was they did not drive out the inhabitants that God had told them to do. Okay? They were disobedient. And again, this is very, very important, because they come into this as a people who had served God, walked with God. Okay? They were that kind of people. Then all at once they begin to deviate from that. Okay? Now, as you see in Judges, the second chapter, let me again look at verse number 6. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. Listen, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Okay, do you understand? They had seen these works. They saw what God did. Now look at verse 8. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And listen to what happened. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. See, that them generations died, and new generations arose who did not see or know the works of God. Say, Brother Ross, why is that important to us? I want to tell you, it's real important. If generations grow up not seeing the mighty hand of God work, they're going to turn from the mighty hand of God. You've got, and on each generation, I know it's almost been a broken record with me, but I want to tell you, we must train. We must teach the generations coming up behind us. And we must see to it that they see the works of God, not just hear about them. It's good to hear about them in history. In fact, I don't think we ever ought to allow them, any of our children and those growing up, to forget the great works of God that God has done before. You don't ever want to forget that. But it's not enough just for them to see or hear the history. They've got to see it themselves. And they've got to see the power of God. And they've got to see His hand move. Each generation must see the hand of God moving in its generation. Okay? You see, churches, let me just say this. Churches all over this country, all over this area. Just let me give you an illustration. When we was out in Cambridge, Maryland, there was churches up and down the east coast of Cambridge, or of east coast, excuse me, out there. That and most of them had red doors. They was Methodist churches that we noticed. But regardless of that, come to find out, most of these churches was started way back there with a fever. And I mean a fervor for the Lord that just wouldn't stop. They built churches. People were saved. God was honored. But let me tell you, almost to a church, most of those churches out there now are nothing but liberal messes. Now, we're not condemning what happened out there. That was a marvelous, wonderful thing that God did. But something happened to allow them to come to the place where they're nothing but liberal and nothing is happening. What happened? Some generation dropped the ball. And the work of God, there's churches all over the country, all over this area right here. We're not picking on any church. Thank God for any church that's doing something for God. I'm for it, aren't you? And it doesn't have to be a big church. It could be a smaller church, but the hand of God is moving and doing something. That's wonderful. But how many churches, even in this area that we know of, just little old churches sitting around that you've never ever heard anything that was going on for God in them? No report that the hand of God is in that place, that God is working, doing something. How many of these small churches or just whatever churches in the area do you see that? Why? Isn't God still alive? Well, now what happens is this. That generation that grows up in them churches are going to not see the works of God. No, they're not going to witness it. They're not going to witness the works of God. And what happens then? Well, when that happens, then there's a turning away from God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Folks, listen to me. We cannot allow, and I don't believe that's happened here. I'm just saying we cannot allow the next generation not to see the power of God and the hand of God move. They must witness it themselves. They can't just hear it in history. Okay? And we've got to see that, you see. It's important, I believe, that every generation sees the hand of God move. Since the beginning of this church, there's a few scattered people around here that was here within the first years of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There's a few scattered ones here. You saw the beginning. You saw the miracles that God did here. You witnessed it. And you know what you've seen, though? You may have come later, but you've still seen miracles. You've seen God move in this church and do things in this church, and He's not stopped doing them. Let me tell you something. That's a must. That's an absolute must. We cannot ever stop seeing God's hand. Yes, we want to see people saved. That's a miracle of God. But it's got to be more than that. He's got to see God move, and the hand of God, the power of God, be upon the lives of its members, seeing God do wonderful things here for this church. You understand what I'm saying? But you never, as he went back there in chapter 24, Joshua, You never want to forget the history. You don't want to ever let your kids forget that there was a time when God moved upon a group of people, a small group of people, who met in a house down in Midland, Indiana, and began a work for God. And how God moved and did, and his hand was upon them, and the work began. And pretty soon they built a little old garage down there and filled that thing up. Pretty soon they bought a piece of property which you're sitting on right now. Oh, well, you know it or not, but right here where this church sits, there was a tent set here one time, and Bob Kelly preached the Bible, the Word of God, in revival meeting. Do you know that history? Do you know about the history of it when it was up here on that, what's that place called in Jasonville? Hannafield, that there was a tent set up down there. Very first revival meeting with Bob Kelly, and he preached the Word of God, and God done marvelous things in that meeting. He drew our hearts together, and Bob Kelly would meet with us an hour before the services and tell us what we need to do to get this church on the go and do. And what a blessing, and God blessed in ways. That's history you don't want to ever forget. And you say, why, Brother Ross? No, it's not the matter that it was me and a bunch of other people. It was what God did. See, you never can forget what God done. Amen. And how he here brought this property and put up a building, a church building here, and we've added on to it two or three times. And then, of course, praise God, the building out here. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying every generation needs to see the hand of God move. Not just talk about history, but don't ever forget history. Don't ever forget it. You see, your generation needs to remember the history of this place, but you don't stop with history. They've got to see the hand of God move in their generation. Understand? They've got to see it. And we can never forget that, you see. Here's what I believe. I believe, and as I mentioned the churches. Folks, it don't have to be that way. God's hand wants to be in every church in this community. Don't he? I mean, that would be God's will to move in every church that's preaching the Word of God. And so what I'm saying to you is, if they grow up, and that's why I've told people before, don't stay in some little old church you never see the hand of God in. Shame on you. Keep growing, bringing your children up in a place where they never get to see the miracles of God. Because that's the way they're going to grow up. That's what they're going to remember. And so we can't do that. But here's what I believe. I believe that God wants to see his power move, not only just in the church as a whole, but in individuals' lives. You see, you are raising your children. Your grandchildren are seeing you. They ought to be able, your children ought to be able to see the hand of God in your life, in your daily life. What did God do for you today? Well, I want to tell you, as we bow our head at a supper table, God provided for us today. God protected us today. God provided this food that's sitting on this table. God gave that to us today. You know, the children have a right to grow up and hearing that. And they'll remember. You see, that was the hand of God. But you see, if children do not see the hand of God in their parents' lives, how are they going to expect God to do it in their lives? I mean, do you understand? This is an important thing. This principle is important, you see. And I say the same for grandparents. Should not our grandchildren be able to look at the grandparents who loved God and walked with God, and that God was moving in their lives? Shouldn't they be able to have, shouldn't they see that? Yes. And I can say that with aunts and uncles or whoever it is, the whole family structure. We ought to be able to show to our children growing up, that next generation, that's coming up, the mighty hand of God that moved in our lives. Now, you remember something. Some of you are younger in here, okay? And you are raising children. But those children is a new generation. They're never going to remember what happened at the beginning of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and the great miracles that God did during those times. They're not going to remember that. Now, you need to pass it on to them in history. You should never let them forget it, but you need to also pass it on to them in reality. That every day you are teaching your children what God did and will do for them. Amen? You understand? Because that's a new generation, folks, coming up behind you. Somebody's got to teach them. Amen? Somebody's got to tell them. And I feel the same way about churches. We pastors, we've got to be sure that as a pastor, we lead our church in such a way that the hand of God is recognized in the workings of the church. Amen? It's not just, it's not just something that a person does. He goes out and pastors a church and he preaches once. No, the hand of God must be on it. So why? So your congregation can see it. And the people of a community can see God moving in the congregation of a church. You may not like this, but I want to tell you right now, we don't need any more liberal churches. We don't need them. They're a detriment to the work of God. What we need is churches that is evident that the power of God is on those churches and on those congregations. It's not just a pastor, but on the congregations. We need, and I've heard, and it really gets under my skin because it's not true everywhere, but haven't you heard the stories, and I've heard them right here in Jacksonville, Indiana, of deacons? I've heard there was, and I know this to be true, there was a deacon used to go to the back door of a tavern up here and get his liquor. Well, that was spread out through all of Jacksonville. Everybody knew it. You know, all I can say is shame, shame, shame. But a young people growing up has a right to see deacons who just love God. They're not perfect. They're just human beings. But they love God and they're faithful. Amen. They have a right to see that kind of deacons. And I can say this. I'm saying this. I think our pastor in the near future, somewhere along the line, he's thinking about trying to establish, and we should, some new deacons. I don't know what he's going to do, and I'm not trying to tell him what he's going to do, but I'm going to tell you this. If you're not willing to live the right kind of life, don't you dare take a deacon's job. Don't you dare. You have no right to do that. You have a right, if you're going to be a deacon and his wife, you are going to toe the line. You're going to do right. Amen? Sure. And we've had some blessed ones here for years. Good, faithful people. But I'm just saying to you, don't you dare take a job if you're not willing to. Because that's a mockery to God's work. Why? Because these young children growing up, they have a right to see people who meet the standard of what a deacon is and his wife. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? This is important business. Because if these new generations don't see these things, they'll do just like it says here, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They'll turn away from God. Okay? Okay? So I believe that. I believe every generation needs to see the work of God, not just hear about it, but they need to see it. I think I may have mentioned this a week or so ago, but I was thankful, I was grateful when God led our pastor to build this building out here. You know why? Because the new generation coming up needed to see it. I mean, did we need it? Yeah, we needed it. We needed the building. Thank God for it. And it's just another, but look what God did out there. Okay, did you see what God did? Can't you say to your little children, hey, children, look what God did. Amen. Remember what God done? Okay, but let me tell you something. That'll pass. There'll be those that's born in the nursery today will never remember that being built. And you know what they got to see? They got to see the hand of God in some ways, whether it's the building of new buildings or whether it's just God moving. They've just got to see it, okay? See, most of these places that they haven't seen the hand of God for so long, they forgot what it meant to be a vibrant force for God. They forgot. They don't know. They really don't know. And what they do is they become a weak social organization. And think that is normal church. But it isn't. It isn't. See, that's what happened across the seas, over in France and England and those countries over there that don't remember what America did for them. How thousands upon thousands upon thousands of our soldiers went over there and died for their freedom. See, if you don't be careful, we'll forget what God's done for America. See, and there's a lot of people in America, and I'm sorry to say, I think our president's one of them that has forgotten what God did for our country. So you can forget. And then a new generation arises. If you remember back in the book of Exodus, I think it's in the first chapter, it talks about Joseph. And it says, a new king arose who knew not Joseph. You see, what happened was they forgot that there was a time back there when Pharaoh was so thrilled and thankful that Joseph come along and set up a program to save them from that great famine. And he saved multitudes and multitudes, but time went by and there a king rose in Egypt that forgot all about Joseph. And that's what happens. You see, we can't forget history. You can't forget it. Why? Because of what God did. And that's, I want to stress that over and over. You want a history. You want to tell about history. You want to keep that before you. And it's good to mention, as God did in his word about the Abraham and the Isaacs and the Jacobs and the Esau's and all of those. That's fine. But the basic principle is not the people, but what God did through the people. Amen? You can forget me as the founder of this church, but don't ever forget what God did. Because that will wane. Brother Charles, me and you, one of these days, they'll say, who was that Bob Ross and Charles English and Jack Gordon and Don Mowry and Bob Townsley? And I'm going to miss some. Who was they? Well, they was people back there. But do you remember what God did? See, that's what can never be forgotten. Okay? And then if we'll raise a generation of young people that remember those things and sees the hand of God newly upon their generation, the work of God will continue. It won't falter, you see. It'll just go on. And as I said, I'm kind of afraid that much in America, we've just forgotten. And a generation's being raised that just doesn't understand what God did in this great country of ours. I want to tell you, folks, America is a miracle. No, it's a miracle. Amen? And there's still a lot of miracles going on in America. But I'm afraid, I'm a little bit scared of what's going to happen. Is God's hand going to turn against it? You see, you understand what I'm saying? You see, we can't let that happen. We got to raise generation that believes in God and trusts God. So I'm just really trying to encourage you today to not forget the works of God. That's what he said there. You see, those who had seen all the great works of God. And what he did for Israel. They seen it. But there come a time when the folks hadn't seen it. That's dangerous. So don't ever let in your life individually Don't ever let it not be known that what God's doing for you. So that generation coming up can not only see it, but hear it, witness it, and then also expect it in their lives. Amen. All right, I got about a minute, so I'm just going to close. Father, thank you again today for your grace, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for who you are, and let us never forget what you did. You're a wonderful God. You've done marvelous works. And help us, Lord, to raise this generation coming up with a knowledge that God will do the same for them. In Jesus' name, amen.